nobody gives you credit for, said, I see you. And this morning, he wants the men of God and the men in this place to know he sees you. Our theme for this morning is, and first of all, I do want to say happy Father's Day to every single father. I want to say to those whose fathers are not here, I understand more than I ever did before the pain of that, the missing of a dad, a wonderful dad that is not here, but I also want to say I experienced the joy of knowing where he's at and that he's with God and that everything that he taught me is still with me, and I just thank God for my father. There are some that you don't have that experience, and when we're singing Good, Good Father to a natural man, you might be like, that's not your experience. But I'm so glad that God didn't let everything rest on our earthly father's shoulders. He didn't let it all rest on them. Wherever our earthly fathers have failed us, God is greater than any earthly father that ever walked. And he can fill those voids and those places if we allow him to. So I just thank God for every father, and I thank God for my dad, who has been such a powerful spiritual impact in my life of giving me Jesus. But today, the theme is when fathers look up. When fathers look up. And I hope this encourages you today. My heart has been just praying that every word would be an encouragement to spur you on and to let you know how special you are and what a privilege it is to be a father. A lot of people don't talk about that. And I thought about when, as moms, you know, and how we told our sons what a special calling it is to be a father. Sometimes they kind of just drop into it. They just drop into being a fatherhood. They sex happens and they have a baby. But have we told them what a privilege it is to be a father? What a privilege it is to stand in that place, to stand in the place of what God would want you to be as on earth. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. We have a heavenly father, but he has given us earthly fathers, and it's a privilege if we know and understand that. But if we don't pass that on to them or teach them, they're just a person that had a baby with a woman, but they don't realize that there's something greater than that. We're a father. In Psalms 121, 1 through 2, it says this, and it's funny because the last time I preached, this is one of my reference scriptures, but it says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The scripture, God wants me to bring this scripture back because a lot of times the understanding of the scripture, we kind of run it together as if that the first part is the answer to the last part, but it's not. So we kind of run it together. As I look up to the mountains, my help comes from the Lord. Where does my help come from? But it doesn't, my help comes from the Lord. But what David was really saying is I look up to the mountains. And on these mountains, as David was talking, this was one of the Psalms of ascent. As they would be going up the mountain, they would be singing these songs of ascent. But he was saying, I look up to the mountains, but what was on these mountains was all kind of gods. All kind of false gods were up on the mountains. They would have their tents, and they would be serving their false gods. And so David was saying, I look up to those mountains. But not like I look up to them for my help. He's saying, I'm looking at these mountains and I see all these people serving their false gods. He said, but that's not my God. Those are not my gods, the gods that's on the mountains. He said, where does my help come from? See, David was a leader, and he was trying to tell them, although you may see all these gods, study it out, you guys. Said, well, although you may see all these gods upon the mountains, they're not the God, my God. They're false gods. He says, I want you to know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. And as God really has been dealing with me, there's a book called Long Walk of Obedience that I'd love to share this book with everybody. It's an amazing book about David and the, you know, the Song of Ascents as they're walking up the mountains. But it just such a good book of power of bringing out the word. But what I want to say is there's a higher place to look, because we sometimes think the mountains are high. And because the mountains are high, where does my help come from? If I look that high, I'll get, but there's a higher place to look from. Beyond the mountains, there's a higher place to look. Because there are mountains of burdens and struggles in our lives. So we've got to learn that there's mountains in our lives. And if we were just to look at those mountains, they could drown us, they could scare us, they could burden us, they could make us want to give up. But God wants us to look higher than the mountains. And that's why David says, is that where my help comes from? No, my help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who made the mountains. That's where my help comes from. In this world that is so full of pressure and expectations and regrets, there are many fathers who walk with their heads down. They're burdened by mistakes, weighed by what they never received or never saw modeled. And they question, how do I lead my family? Some of them are not even with the family as a whole. They're not with the mother of their children, and they're wondering, how do I lead my children in this brokenness of mom and dad not being together, or mother and father not being, how do I still enter in? Because believe it or not, there are a lot of fathers that want to father that mothers won't let them. That even though we live in a time that we talk about all the bad men and the jerks that walk around, there are really some really good dads that want to be in their children's lives. And because of situations and hardened hearts, there's a lot of dads that moms won't let them even talk to them. So we don't want to go on the fact that because he's not with the children that he's a bad dad.
Right, right.
I want to make sure we're talking to dads that want to be dads. And in their heart, they're feeling alienated from their children, and they really want to be with their children.
Yeah.
And their hearts are heavy today because they would want to be with their children. This is who I'm talking to. But in their mind, they keep trying to think, and as fathers, and all these expectations, they think harder and harder. How can I be a better dad? How can I do a better job? But this morning, God is saying, maybe it's not about you trying harder.
Come on, Jesus.
But it's about you looking higher.
Right now. That's good. That's good.
Maybe your trying is because it's all of your efforts. Mm-hmm. And your efforts can only go so far. And so you're trying so hard, but God wants you to look higher. He comes this morning to give you an encouragement that there's someplace, another whole level that you can go in your try, and that is looking higher. Today's message is a reminder that when fathers look up to God, they find the help that they've always needed. Because when we all look up, we're not just looking for answers, we're finding our real Heavenly Father. And when we find Him, there comes the power. There comes all the things that we're trying so hard. When we find Him and we serve Him, He gives us what we need to do what we need to do with our families and our children. Now you know the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I find this amazing that God the Father has made Himself God our Father.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? God the Creator of heaven and earth, God that has the answer of everything, God that holds the whole world, God the Father, He's made Himself God our Father.
Yeah.
He's not just God the Father.
Right, right.
God somewhere up there. You know, I was thinking, I don't know if you ever thought, but as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about in the Old Testament, there's not many times that God is called the Father. Not many times in the Old Testament, He's referred as God Almighty. He's referred as His character. But it's not until Jesus comes when we really get ideal of who the Father is, because the Son reveals Him to us. But in the Old Testament, we can sometimes see Him as far away, God up there. But God never wanted a relationship with us as a God up there. Oh, come on. Some of us today know about earthly fathers that are distant and far away and how that feels. Well, our Heavenly Father, He never wanted us to feel that. He didn't want us to feel like He was some far off father that we had to say, God, God, do you hear me? Do you see me? Where are you? No, He is an ever-present God. He's right here present. And Jesus came to earth to reveal our Heavenly Father as a present Father, a Father that's right with us, that walks with us, that doesn't leave us, that doesn't abandon us, that no matter if we're good, bad, ugly, He's right there with us. He is a good, good Father. That's a beautiful, how y'all sung that song this morning was beautiful. I love the refrain and everything. But when I thought about it, it's how we accepted how real that is, that He's a good, good Father. That's who you are. And how do I know that's who you are? Because that's who you are to me. That in not just my season of swaying in church and waving my hands and worshiping so beautifully, but when I was ugly in a pit and I wasn't even thinking about Him and I was being nasty and ugly and I wasn't doing what the Word says, He was still my good, good Father. And He still loved me. And He still reached His hand into the pit that He says, there is no pit too deep that His hand cannot reach us and pull us out. Because why? We are His children. When we say that God is our Father and that He's made Himself our Father, it means that He is personally, emotionally, and sacrificially involved with us. Y'all, fathers, hear this. He is personally, emotionally, and sacrificially involved with us. Monica's words to her dad just revealed that. He's personally, He goes through it with her. He's emotionally, He cries with her. And He's sacrificially involved with her journey. Do you understand? That He's not a God that is so embarrassed by what we do that He turns His head and ignores us and say, when they get it together, that's my girl.
Lord Jesus, come on now.
But He's right there.
Come on, come on.
right there, when you don't have it together, that's my girl. That's my girl. And I love my girl. And when everyone's talking about his girl, he's saying, and that's my girl. And I love my girl. Well, that's our Heavenly Father. He never abandons us, and he never looks away, and he's embarrassed by what we do. He loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his only son, right? He made a sacrifice for us while we was yet sinners. While we was yet sinners. He didn't wait for us to get together. While we was yet sinners, he was doing something for his children. The best thing for his children. In 1 John 3:1, it says this. See how very much our Father loves us? For he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world, they don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. They don't recognize, and so sometimes they don't treat you like you're a God child because they don't know your God, all right? But God calls us his children, and that is what we are. Say, that is what I am. He's a good father. That's who he is. And I'm not such a good child, but I am his daughter. And that's the truth about it, is that he yet loves me. He yet loves me. And it says he sings over us. He loves us so much that he sings over us. In this message, it says, what marvelous love. You know, there's so many love songs out there. Just love songs, you know, that we sing to our loved one. But there's no greater love song than the love song of our Heavenly Father. It says, what marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. I mean, I don't know a better calling that could be over our life. We're called children. I'm called Mrs. Jenkins. I'm called Mama, a friend. But there's no greater calling than I'm a child of God. Yes. That my Heavenly Father loves me, and he calls me his child. Oh, come on, you guys. You think about it. This is what, are y'all marveling at it? Are you? Is there any marvel? Sometimes as Christians, we have lost the marvel. We've lost how wonderful that is to be called a child of God. We've lost it, or we haven't yet realized it yet. How marvelous it is. That means that no matter what, this is one thing that people may leave you, as Felicity was talking, there was so much loss in Elder Otis's life, but there's one thing he's never lost. The love of his Father. Never lost the love of his Father. And so how marvelous is that, to be able to stand in that confidence that no matter what I have, all the stuff I have can be taken away, but one thing that can't be taken away from me is the love of my Heavenly Father. Y'all might get disgusted with me. Y'all might get tired of me. Y'all might walk away from me, but God never will. How marvelous is that? How marvelous is that? And marvelous, I mean, why it's so marvelous to me is because I know some places that I've been that I would have walked away from me. I looked in the mirror. I didn't like me. I wanted out of this life. I didn't like the person in the mirror. But God. His love is so marvelous that when I was giving up on me, he says, I haven't given up on you. I am your Father, and I love you. The scripture that I read in the beginning, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. This scripture is to remind us that our true help, fathers, your true wisdom and your true strength, it doesn't come from your past.
That's right.
It doesn't come from your culture. It doesn't come from your upbringing. It comes from God who created you and called you. None of those things, all of those things we can use to, and the enemy can use to stop us if we don't realize that none of those things define us. None of those things define us. But the enemy will try to use our past, our culture we came out of, our upbringing, and say we can never do or never be, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. That does not define you. What defines you really is who your good father is, and your good father is a heavenly father. Come on. And that defines us all. And he lets us know who we are and what we can be. The Bible is full. So some of us, you know, there's, you know, as women, as men, mother and father, we say we didn't come into this world with a handbook of knowing how to be. But I dare to disagree. Okay? There is a handbook that shows us how to be. Because a good father does not leave you ignorant. A good father will make sure that you know. And so a lot of times we say that because we don't know our good father. We only know our earthly fathers. There wasn't a pass down, so we don't think that we know anything. But there's a higher father than our earthly father, and he has given us a pass down, and it is the word of God. And in those places, in the word of God, if you would just get in the word of God shows you how to be a father. It shows you in any area that you would want to know, the good book shows you how to be a father. I have a couple of fathers that I'm going to go through because there's the Bible is full of examples of fathers, both strong and flawed, not perfect.
That's right.
So that we all can say, but, you know, that them are Bible men. These Bible men were to show you how to be today's man.
Amen.
If we would just read our word, there's so much that we can learn from their life. Their lives teach us powerful lessons about responsibility, about love, about discipline, about failure, about forgiveness, and about faith. We start out with Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Oh, y'all know that song. Father Abraham. Say it, men. So are you. So let's all. I can't believe it. There y'all go. That's right. That's right. Didn't y'all just love that?
Amen.
Maybe that was our Sunday school song. I'll never forget it, okay? And the kids would just run around and do all the little hand motions. But Father Abraham, he was the father of faith.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do today, if you got your notes, so the Bible is full of these amazing stories of fathers. And so if you got something, write down, because I'm not going to read the whole chapter about Abraham, but you can find in Genesis, the 17th chapter, about Abraham, the father of faith. And we learn about Abraham when you start reading about it, is that Abraham trusted God even when the promise seemed impossible. Now, what is he showing fathers? He shows that fatherhood begins with faith.
Right.
Trusting God, not just for your life, but for your children's future. A faithful father believes God for generations beyond his own. So when you study about Abraham, you will see that Abraham, he believed in God for generations.
Yes.
Beyond himself, he believed in God for generations beyond his own. He had faith. Abraham's called the father of faith. So it starts with a faith. God is saying, fathers, that fatherhood starts with faith in God.
Thank you.
Faith in God is the beginning of this journey. Then we find Noah.
Noah
You'll find out about him in Genesis, the 6th chapter. And Noah was a father who obeyed God in a corrupt world. And sometimes as fathers, we're like, man, this world is so crazy. How can I walk this thing out? How can I live for Jesus when everything around me is corrupt? How can I really make a stand? But Noah did. Noah stood and he obeyed God in a corrupt world. Noah obeyed God and he led his family in righteousness. Even in a corrupt world, fathers, you can lead your family in righteousness. Even when the whole world is going in the opposite direction. See, it was Noah and his family that was all that was saved out the whole world. So even Noah against the whole world. But Noah and God against the whole world, come on. It brought the family. He saved his whole family. And so God doesn't want fathers to be shaky in this time because there's so much going on. I mean, wife can be telling you to do one thing. Teenagers can be telling you to do another thing. We can be pouting and looking upset because you're making a stand. But Noah made a stand. And I bet you 10-1, wife and children were glad that Noah made the stand when the rain start coming down and the floods start coming. They start saying, thank you, Noah. Thank you for being a good, good father. Thank you for making a stand in righteousness. Thank you that we're all saved in the boat. God is saying, fathers, everybody's not going to agree with you. Everybody's not going to be happy about your stand in the Lord. Everybody's not going to be yip, yip, yay, yay, but stand. And after doing all, fathers, stand. That's what God is saying. Noah stood in a corrupt world. And there's some things I'm just this morning, the things that God is saying, there's some things that God tells fathers that even moms don't like. I knew when we was growing up, my dad, there were certain things that my dad was adamant that we weren't going to do. And we could weigh on mama. We have them tears coming down our, you know, we could make mama feel a little bit bad. And mama would be like, James, but James, they're Tina James. And my dad would be like, no. And I remember the whole household, mama, us, all of us, mad at daddy. We were just mad, in our rooms mad, didn't want to talk to daddy because daddy put down the hammer. This is not what God wants. We're not going to do it. But you know what? I look back now and I say thank you to my dad. Thank you for the things that he stood on, that the word of God that he stood on, and he didn't shake, he didn't move, he just let us all pout and look sad, and God, he said, this is what God has told me to do. I'm just telling you some of these fathers, God says somebody needs this morning. Get your house in order. Somebody needs this morning. If Noah didn't stand, if Noah did not stand for righteousness, some of his children could have been lost.
That's right.
Hallelujah. His wife couldn't. If Job didn't stand,
hallelujah.
What did Job's wife say? She was sick of all that. She was sick of all that drama that was going on. She said, you need to curse God and die. And what did Job say? You sound like a foolish woman. Y'all know good and well if our man said you sound like a foolish woman today. Come on, women, we need to hear what God is saying to our brothers. And stop being ready to rile up, all right? Because God is speaking. He is speaking. Noah obeyed God, and he led his family in righteousness. Fathers, lead your family in righteousness. Lead. And I don't mean beat it in them. Lead. And the best way you can lead is by example. Lead. Don't be wishy-washy, but lead. A godly father leads even when no one else understands. Remember that. Jacob was another father in the Bible. Now, Jacob was a father. He learned through struggles.
Yes.
And you can find out about Jacob in Genesis, the 32nd chapter, and Genesis, the 49th.
Lord, we thank you.
You guys, I usually don't like to do this. I'd be like, I don't want to be taken, you know, I'm drinking some water, but I'm trying to talk. Okay. Jacob made mistakes as a father.
Yeah. Come on, Jesus, help the day.
He showed favoritism. He was in manipulating situations. If you read a story about Jacob. But through wrestling with God, he was transformed, and he blessed his children before his death. What do we learn from Jacob? That God can redeem and use fathers who surrender their past to him.
Yes.
See, Jacob was known as a trickster.
Uh-huh.
And Jacob, in his walk, he had this trickster stuff followed him. Until he gave himself with this fight with God, and God wins, right?
Amen. All the time.
And he found himself serving God and then blessing his children in God.
Yes.
What this takeaway is we all come to God in our various strengths and flaws. And as we come to God, if we surrender those places of flaws, those places of sin, God is able to redeem us.
Yes,
and
yes.
Sometimes we say, but you don't know what I did. You don't know how big I was this or bigger. God is bigger.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
And God is greater.
Thank you.
And as we come to him and we surrender to him, sometimes we think, I'm messed up. I messed up my kids. I did this, I did that, and I messed up my kids. But God is great. You know what always blesses me is when I see Ajene come up.
Amen.
And she talks,
Amen.
Their whole family blesses me. And when I see Ajene come up and she talks about where her dad used to be.
Amen, amen. Your daughter.
And I look and I... God's grace was there even before she became this adult. Because I remember when she was young, little girl. She, no matter what her dad was doing, she loved her dad. She loved her daddy. And that's what God wants you to know, that no matter where you've failed at, and I know Juan could say amen, is that His grace is still covering.
Yes, yes.
When we look back over our lives and we see some places that it should have just been messed up, done, through. But God's grace covers. And wherever you're at right now, if you just give him your right now.
Amen.
God, I'm sorry. As a father, the things that I've showed, the things that I've done that was not of you, God, take control.
Yes.
God is ready and willing to take control. And he's ready to show you that your past does not have to be your future.
Come on now, bless the Lord.
Amen. He's a good, good father,
yes,
you guys. Then we look at Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite fathers in the Bible. I always, because I feel like Joseph is like a lot of fathers, he doesn't get much credit. You don't hear that much about Joseph. You know, it's not like this whole chapter of Joseph, but Joseph does an incredible thing. And so when I read about Joseph, I'm always like, just, God, what a great man. Here was, Joseph was a man that was about to be married to Mary when he finds out that Mary's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I think today, you know, about a man that's about to be married to a woman and he finds, she comes and says, but I'm pregnant. And is he gonna, what? You're what? And whose is it? And all the questions? And what do you want me to do about this? But Joseph, and y'all say, well, you got to see that Joseph saw an angel. If you see an angel, what else you going to do? He didn't have to say yes. He did not have to say yes. But he did. He honored her.
Yeah.
He covered her.
Yeah.
This is why I love her. He covered her and he honored her. What an amazing man. And he fathered this child that wasn't his child. And y'all might say, wait, it was Jesus. It was God. Who wouldn't father God? But the understanding of all that, it wasn't like we understand it right now. It was that Mary was having a baby and Mary was telling him a story and the angel was telling him a story that this is the Son of the living God. And I mean, even today, that would take some wrap in your mind around that. But he loved him and he protected him. And he followed everything that God told him to do concerning him. Joseph was a father of obedience and protection.
Yes.
Oh, fathers, this morning, God's saying, what can you learn from that? We need to learn that in obedience, God can lead us. He was in obedience to God. And in obedience to God, God led him. And another good part about it, he was a father of protection.
Yes.
What can I be as a father that my children would look to me and they would know that I will protect them? I will not harm them. I will not hurt them. I will love them. I'm a father of protection. And sometimes I know that there's anger and things that's within you that was put on you by your father that can come out as you're fathering and you don't want it to come out. This is where God is saying, where do I get my help from? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from no matter what my past has been, no matter what my history has been, if I go to the Lord, God can correct the history in my life and help me not to be like Daddy. You know what? I want to say this. A lot of people think that by hating their dad, they're not going to be their dad. But hatred is not enough.
That's right. Come on, Jesus.
It's not enough to not be the negative things that you didn't like about your dad. Hatred is not enough. Hatred only spurs that thing up to come up before you know it, and you're looking at your dad in you. Hatred is never the answer. Love is, but hatred is never the answer. And the only way that you can love the one that's hurt you is that you look to the Father who can give you the kind of God love for them that turns into forgiveness. And that forgiveness gets that thing off of your heart and out of your way that you walk and respond. It's a wonderful thing that when we look to God, he can show us how to do it, and he can get us from that place that we hate to the place that he wants us to be. Joseph wasn't Jesus' biological father, but he protected, and there's a lot of you good fathers. You're not the biological father, but you have stepped in to be a father of a child that's not yours. God honors you.
Amen.
He honors that love that you have. Yeah. That child needed you.
Amen.
And needs you, still needs you. And that's what Joseph, he stepped in and he protected, he provided for, and he guided his family by listening to God. He obeyed God's leading in dreams, even when it meant sacrifice. So there was dreams where Joseph had to get up and go, get up and move, get up and take Jesus somewhere. But Joseph kept being obedient. Whatever God told him to do, that's what he did. Fatherhood is more than biology. And we thank God for fathers that have stepped in and loved on children that are not your own. It's about obedience, and it's about love, and it's about sacrifice. There's another father in the Bible, and his name is Eli. Now, Eli, he got this warning about being a passive father. He was a passive father. That means he didn't step in. He didn't step up. He didn't stand when it was time to stand. He was passive. He had sons, and these sons was doing all kind of stuff in the church, right in the church. They were doing all kind of things, but Eli just couldn't tell them what to do right. He was very passive in their training, and but the thing was that Eli was a priest that wouldn't discipline his sons. And his failure to correct them brought destruction to his whole family and to his leadership. God is saying, men, you can't be passive. Can't be passive. You have to lead. I know that all that was modeled to some of you was not a good model. But that's why I'm standing here to tell you that there is a greater model than the model that you had. And the model is our Heavenly Father. Your model might have been very angry, very mean, very, you know, abusive. God is none of those things. And so when we look to him, we can find out that God is very compassionate. He's very compassionate, but he's not passive. God will correct, and he lets us know that he loves those who he corrects. That if he doesn't correct us, that's not love. If we let our children just get by with anything, act any kind of way, talk to mama any kind of way, talk to you any kind of way, talk to adults any kind of way, act up, fall out, have a fit, and we don't do anything about it, we just stand back and be passive, that's not what we would say. At least I'm not like my dad. At least I'm not abusive. But do you know that if you don't train your child, you're abusive?
Amen.
That's right.
If you don't train your child, you're abusive because they're not going to be with you always.
Amen.
And when they're with someone else, you know, that child that you didn't want to train and you just let them go hither, thither, however they want to be, and they grow up, and when the policeman hits them with the billy club,
Lord Jesus,
because they were not trained. The thing is that we must train them. And so we can't be passive as fathers. We got to step in, and we can ask God, God, how do I discipline my child in love? Most of us that remember anything about abuse, it was because they were in anger. And God never corrects us in anger. His anger, His correction is always done out of love.
Amen.
And so Eli wouldn't do anything with his sons. And we're talking about these sons were doing all kind of things.
Yeah.
These sons was getting the women that was in the church. They was doing all kind of things. They was just whoring around. That's what they was doing in the house of God. But Eli was very passive because these were his sons. And he didn't want to say anything to his sons. But God is saying, don't be passive.
Come on, Jesus.
You know the truth. If you know the truth will make you free. So make your children free. Give them the truth.
Amen. That truth.
Give them the correction that's needed.
Yes.
Yes, they might be upset. Yes, they might not want you to tell them what's right. Tell them what's right. Tell them that's wrong. No, you can't do that. Not up in my house. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Eli didn't have the strength to do that. But he would have the strength if he had to look to the Lord. For the Lord would have given him strength. A father must not just be satisfied to provide for his children.
Amen.
He must lovingly guide and correct his children. And I know right now in my spirit, there's some moms that are going, oh God, now he's going to do this. Now he's going to go home and do that. Now he's going to. No, this word didn't come to make you afraid, mom.
That's right.
This word came to correct some things. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And God's word goes out to accomplish something.
Yeah.
It doesn't go out to just, you know, make people act crazy.
That's right.
So when this word goes into whatever father that needs that word, it's going in to accomplish God's will. So mamas don't, you know. Because some of us as mamas will be, now I know what you heard Pastor Linda say this morning, but don't you be going crazy on my baby. No. I'm only, and some of y'all saying, I know it's right because God is saying right now, that's what's going through someone's mind. And so right now, I'm saying it. God is saying, no, God is doing something for you, not against you. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Now, David was a, in the Bible, we started out in the chapter, David was a man, and David did a lot of things. David did a lot of things that when we can look in there, we're like, oh my God. But yet the Bible starts out in, with David, with God saying that David was a man after God's heart.
Yes.
He was an imperfect father, an imperfect man, but God said he was a man after his heart. What was it after his heart? That David was a man that would repent.
Yes.
David was a man that would say he was sorry. David was a man that would acknowledge his wrongs.
Yes.
Oh, Father, if there's anything that our children need today, is a man, a father, that will acknowledge his wrongs.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we want to be right, even when we're wrong. But God knows this morning that we need to be children need. If there's one gift my father gave me that I'll never forget, is my father acknowledged his wrongs. There's times you hear me talk about my father. I love my father. You talk about hear how God-fearing my father is. And some people think I had this perfect father. No, we went through some things. But the things that we went through as a family, I will never forget. My dad would always come back. And he would go, Linda, you know right there? He said, what you saw me and mom do, that was wrong.
Amen.
How I talked to mom right there, that was wrong.
Thank you, Jesus.
Dad was wrong. How one time he whooped me pretty hard and he told me, Linda, I want you to know I'm very sorry. That was not right. That was in anger. I was wrong. That right there stays with me. That he acknowledged the wrong. See, it's when you don't acknowledge wrongs that children grow up and they have this hurt going on in their lives because you never acknowledge anything that you did wrong. You act like it was all right. But when you go back and you can say, I'm sorry. That was wrong. That is not according. Because then I start thinking about if you're leading me in God and that's how you do it, but you never say that you were wrong, you make me think that's how the Heavenly Father acts. Because you are the standing in the thing. When I say Father, most of us have got our ideal of our Heavenly Father. Before we get mature in Christ, we get an ideal of our Heavenly Father from our earthly father. And so if our earthly father will just come back and say, you know what? That is not representation of God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was angry. I was mad. I was hurt. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me, daughter. When you do that, now you start putting in, that's training.
Right.
Here goes training right now. Training isn't, I'm all right. I'm always right. I've got all the answers. That's not training. Training is real training, that I don't have all the answers and that I'm not always right. And that's why, baby, I need Jesus. That's why I go to him. And now I'm trained that I'm Linda. You're not always right. You need Jesus. I get that because that was given to me. Fathers, we must get that part, that we are all imperfect. There's not one perfect mom, dad, person in this room. But God is teaching us. And if we would just repent, then we could do a whole lot of goodness. David was passionate in worship, and he trusted God. But one thing, if you read about David, he was another dad that he neglected discipline and family accountability.
Yeah.
He too had some sons, Amon and Absalom, and both of them, because he neglected their discipline and family, his son wanted to kill him. His son rose up and wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
So God is saying accountability, you guys, this is so important, that accountability and discipline is a beautiful thing.
Thank
Although
God.
We have had some hurtful places that make it feel like a horrible thing, it's a beautiful thing to discipline and give your children accountability. Being a man of God, although David was passionate as a king and in worship, being a man of God requires faithfulness in the home too. Now this part right here is, don't let all your passion be in the house of God and worship, and but when you go home, you're absent.
Come on up, you preaching now, preach.
No.
Come on now,
you know, you're on Sunday, but Monday through Friday, you're absent.
Lord Jesus, preach it.
Come on.
See, there can be an absentee father that's absent in the home, as well as the absentee father that never came home.
Lord Jesus.
You can be in the home and be absent. And God is saying, don't be absent.
Right.
David was a king, but he wasn't taking care of his home. And it will show up. I'm telling you, it will show up no matter how much we're on our jobs and we're number uno on our jobs and we're great in the house of God. If you're not present in your home, it will show up. Because your children, they beyond seeing you in church, they live with you.
Yeah, come on now.
And there's that's the reality for them. You think the reality for them is you doing this and praising God, but the reality for them is in the home.
That's right. Wow.
Because they're trying to deduct, and that's why it says don't provoke your children to wrath, because they're trying to deduct that this praise and worshiper and loving God but never talks to me, never has time for me. How does that work? How does that equal out? How never trains me, never has any input into, don't care about what I do, where I'm at. It doesn't add up. And so God wants us to know that you have to take responsibility in the home too. You're great on the job and you're great but in the home. And I don't know, this morning I'm speaking to women. Let's pray for our men that give over to them. Who's got quiet up in here? I'm saying give over to them. First we give them to God, and then we give over to them. And we let them do, they're not going to do everything like you.
That's right. Amen.
They're not you. They're not going to be the mama.
Hallelujah.
They're not the mama. They're the dad. Let them be the dad. And sometimes we're like, well, I do it like this and I do it like that. Okay, mama, you do it like that. But it's daddy's turn now. Let daddy be daddy. Let daddy be daddy. Don't try to take his identity away. You are supposed to fortify his identity in Christ. And you keep praying, God, in the name of Jesus, bless my husband to be the good father. Bless him, God. Let him hear you. Let him follow your word. Don't let me be the hindrance. Don't let me stand up and stop him when you're trying to move him forward. Come on, ladies, let's say amen. Because a lot of times they can't be because they got to fight us. Now, y'all looking at me, the only reason why I can tell you this, I ain't trying to bust nobody out, is because this girl right here had to learn to do that.
Praise God.
okay? I had to learn, especially with discipline. They're my babies. With discipline, it was like, no, you're not. Okay, but, yeah. No, I was laughing to myself. Was I used to say no, you're not. Oh, babe, don't give them a spanking. Don't no. But the funniest thing is, I would have to almost sweat my brains out to make them obey me, and Dad can come in the room and go.
It is over. But that's it.
Jerrica, remember Jer? He didn't have to do nothing but say Jerrica. Jericho fall to the floor crying. I was like, what in the world? I'd be in the room trying to discipline, and my husband be in the living room, and he come, babe, come on, that's all right, go sit down. Because my son be like, Mama, you so funny. Look at your face. You look so bad. You're so. Because they knew. And I had to learn. So I'm not trying, I'm telling you this, what God has taught me. So that's why I'm telling you, let him be the man. Let him be the father. And let God father him. Some of us are trying to father our husbands. But let God father him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's a, I hear you. I hear you, and I know where you are at, because I had a pastor who told me about my dearest, sweetest, nobody, no more body, no precious than my Moni, that he told me that Moni was spoiled. He looked at me and he said, that girl is spoiled. You need to do something about it. That girl is spoiled. And I said, I got in my car, y'all, rolled up my windows. The pastor then came out to the car. He goes, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I'm telling you, that girl is spoiled. I done rolled up my windows. Husband comes looking at me like, what are you doing? I said, we leaving this church.
Amen.
Nobody going to touch my Moni. Whew. I was something that the Lord had to deal with. But he has dealt with me. That's why I can tell y'all what I'm telling you.
Okay?
And I know truth. I know that the little precious that y'all see right now is because her daddy gave her some pats on her little butt. Yes. And you see, he gave her the pats, and all I did was hold her and breastfeed her and love on her all the time. And did you see her? Daddy, I love you so much. I love him. Okay.
God is good.
Let me get on with this. Father in the Bible. The fathers in the Bible show us the full range of human fatherhood.
Yes.
The good, the bad, and the redeemed.
Yes.
Each life reminds us that no matter, you know, how our strengths are or our failures are, we have a Heavenly Father to follow and lean on.
Thank you, God.
Fathers, remember today that you can be fathered by the Father. You may not have got the model as you was growing up, but there is the Heavenly Father who wants to father you. And you can lead well because you are led well when you're led by the Heavenly Father. We all have this perfect example in our Heavenly Father. In Ephesians 5:1, it says, imitate God. Imitate God. You're looking for somebody to, you said, I had nobody to model. I had nobody that I could see. God said, son, listen to me. Imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, do it like God would do it. In everything you do, because you are his dear children. And what he's saying about because you are his dear children, you can do it. That's what he's saying. Because just like you have your natural father's DNA, you have your heavenly father's DNA. Tap into that. Tap into the heavenly father's DNA, and you'll be able to do everything that your heavenly father does. You may not have a good earth example, or maybe you've made some mistakes. And some of us have regrets this morning. Look to God. He will redeem that. He is always present. You're not alone. You're not walking alone with God by your side. And even if your Heavenly Father was absent, your Heavenly Father was mean, your Heavenly Father is gone, he's not here, whatever those even ifs is, okay? God never leaves. He is never gone. He will step in and fill the holes and be your source of identity and strength today. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. He's generous, y'all, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Oh, don't you love that little caveat part on the end? He will not rebuke. You know how sometimes you can ask people something and they just get sick of you asking questions? Get out of here. You're asking too many questions. Go look it up in the book. There's a dictionary. Go look it up. He will not rebuke you. He will give you that wisdom generously. He's that type of father. In Isaiah 40:29, it says this. He gives power to the weak. Power to the weak. And strength to the powerless. Oh, sometimes you might feel weak, but it says your Heavenly Father, he gives power. He gives power to the weak. And he gives strength to the powerless. Even with mistakes, there's strength and wisdom that God gives that will move you forward. God, you're not stuck. Somebody said, I'm stuck. I've done so much, I'm stuck. No, God will give you power and strength to move you forward. Real strength and direction comes from above. There's so many places we can look to. But let's make sure, even if we look to man, man is pointing us to him. It should always be, no matter, if I look at, read a book, that book should be pointing me to God. It should not be pointing me to earthly ways. It should be pointing me to heavenly ways, right? Real strength comes from above. Even flawed fathers are called and empowered by God. When we look in the Bible, there's so many men that when you look in their history, they had so many flaws. But they were called and empowered by God. And God wants you to know that you still can. Some people says, I can't. I have no relationship with my son, my daughter. I have no relationship with my children. We're estranged. I haven't talked to them in years. But God is saying, you can. You still can be a father. Fatherhood isn't over. It's never over, you guys. You can always pray for your children. God, if you can't be with them, if you can't talk to them, you can always put them before the throne of God. And I mean sincerely, put them before the throne of God. And God hears our prayers. And God opens doors. Pastor and I have seen many men who have not been able to be with their children. But we have seen men that as we have prayed and prayed and prayed, out the blue, it seems out the blue to us, but God's been working it all along. But out the blue, that woman, she will give him, I want you to talk, he's this age, and I want you to talk to her. God can do this thing, but we got to believe that we can take the out. Well, my fatherhood is over. It is what it is. You know, they won't let me. There's no won't let nothing. God is the one that is in control of it all. And we give it to him. I want to be a father. I'm going to be a father. And I'm going to father in whatever capacity that the Lord gives me. And that's what you got to say. If that's all it is prayer. And when I say all it is, it's one of the biggest things that you can do. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Yes. And what he's saying, even though we may be flawed, when we come to Christ, we're a new person in Christ Jesus. He's changing us. Yes. He's strengthening us. Yes. The things that we used to do, we don't do no more. Now, our family and our friends, they may not see it real quick, but just keep on walking. Keep on doing it. And yes. God will, all of a sudden, they will see that you meant business. Amen. Come on. You meant business when you get, because at first they're not going to think that, but now they'll say you meant business. Because when you get with God, you'll do something different, right? You're going to reach in different ways. God's going to give you creative ways to reach out to your children, creative ways to walk with them, and they're going to see it. In Lamentations, it says, the faithful love of the Lord, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Never ends. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. That's why I'm so glad he's my father. Never ends. He never stops loving me. You can count on this. It never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin fresh each morning. There's still time, you guys. And this is for the fathers that there's that I want to be with my child, my son. My son is 20, 30. I still haven't had any time with them. There's still time, saith the Lord.
Amen.
There's still grace. And there's still purpose.
Amen.
If your son is 40, there's still purpose.
Yes, thank you, God.
For you to father.
Thank you.
And that means just lifting him before the Lord. And any opportunity that God gives you to speak into their lives, speak into their life, send a card if you know where they're at.
That's it.
Just ask God, God, what can I do to let this child know that I am present and I want to be present in their life? God is creative. When we go to the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and show us creative things to do if we just ask him. One of the things is that when's the last time you asked for help from the Lord? We say, my help comes from the Lord. But when have we said, Lord, help me?
Yes.
Not just a theory in your head, but Lord, help me. Please help me.
Yes.
This is my desire to be a good father. Help me. In Romans 8 and 15, it says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful. Fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. As a child of God, you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be fearful about your past. You don't have to be fearful about the things that you have done wrong. You've given them to the Lord. It's under the blood. And now you say, God, help me to walk forward. Help me to be the father that you are calling me to be according to your word. And the Bible says, as you see the light, walk in the light. As you hear the word, receive the word. Let it be applied to your heart and then applied to your actions. We need to ask God to help us to believe the truth. And this was something I heard, and I want to end on this. We need, and I want y'all to hear this because it's going to be a little twist, okay? We need to, when I was driving yesterday and I was in the car, this man says, Lord, help us to believe the truth about ourselves. No matter how wonderful it is. I mean, I had to stop. Because when I heard it, my first inclination was, Lord, help me to believe the truth about myself, the things that I'm not doing right, help me to believe it, you know, help me. And then he said, uh-uh. He said, Lord, help us to believe. He said, that's not the problem. We believe the negative.
Oh, come on now.
We are so easy to believe the negative about ourselves and the things that we do wrong. The problem is, it's hard for us to believe the good things about ourselves. And he said, Lord, help us to believe the truth about ourselves no matter how wonderful it is. It's so easy to believe the negative facts, but there is wonderful truth that trumps negative facts.
Amen.
Oh, Father, there are wonderful truths. What they say you didn't do, how you wasn't there. We are easy. It's so easy to believe and take that on. But God wants you to take on the wonderful truth that he said about you. Yes, you've had some things that's happened and walked some ways. It's not right. But he said, the wonderful truth is that you're my son. This is a wonderful truth. You are my son. And because you are my son, you have my DNA. And because you have my DNA, you have the capacity to be everything that I am. That's the wonderful truth. That's the wonderful truth. And the facts may be that they said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, Dad. I don't love you anymore. I don't want you in my life anymore. The facts is, the wonderful truth is God said, I love you. And I will always talk to you. And I will always be there. And I will not abandon you. And I will even help the heart of those that hate you. Because I'm a good father. That's who I am. That's who I am. And so God is telling you as we stand, look up. Look up, fathers. There's a lot to look up. The weight of the world, the weight of expectations of doing things may be on your shoulders, but God is saying, look up. Look up to me. And realize that I said for you to cast all your cares. See where that burden is? Men, can y'all just do this? Thank you. There you go, Pastor David. Here we go. There you go, baby. You got a lot of burdens. You got a lot to carry. Okay? Now we go like this, and we cast it upon the Lord. Now, just do it. When you're feeling all tight, and you're feeling bowed down, and you're feeling, wait a minute, what am I carrying? I should be giving this to the Lord. I should be giving this to my Father. Because I'm his child, and he does not want me burdened to the point that I'm bowed down. You're good fathers today. Will y'all believe the truth over the facts? Will you believe the truth over the facts? There's some facts that the enemy's going to try to just bring up in your life. See, but I always tell him, you nasty devil, you went under the blood. You went under the blood, you nasty devil, to pull out what is under the blood and bring it in my face. I am not receiving that. Because the blood covers that. And so the truth is that you've been redeemed. And you're in this place at this moment. At this moment, every father that's standing in this place, man, hallelujah. Every father that made a purpose to be in the house of the Lord, be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is so.
Amen.
There's some ladies in here that ought to help me, because I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you right now, this is for Pastor David. My heart is clapping because I know of a time when he wasn't. And I know the man that he was then. And I know the man he is now. I thank God for that. Women, Let's applaud them. Let's encourage them. Let's speak life over them. Let's speak truth over them. And let's remind them, babe, look up. Sometimes you guys say, don't look at me. I know I'm looking crazy. Look up. Look up. I'm being honest, because you know how we can look, girls. We can look crazy when we're not liking someone. Just say, babe, don't look at me right now. Look up. Look up to the Lord, not at me, but look up to the Lord, and then take your face and say, Lord, let me look to you so that I can help my husband and spur him on in Jesus' name, so I can help I'm saying as husband, as father in the home, but I'm also talking about sons. We got sons that are fathers, and they're not with a spouse. Let's spur them on. Let's spur them on in the Lord. Let's let them know that it's a privilege to be a dad. And yes, it may be under circumstances that I didn't want, you didn't want, but you're a dad. And what a privilege to be a dad, and what a privilege to be a part of the pass down or the pass up of what the Heavenly Father looks like. When you want, I want my daughters to look at their dad and know God is a good God, because their dad is a good dad.
Amen.
Right? So let's pray for that. Any father this morning that just wants to come up in any of those areas, in the areas of standing, in the areas, I know I said some things this morning that God really had me to say, and they were not to do anything but to encourage you, equip you, and to help you to realize that God is on your side. He is on your side, okay? He's on your side as you make a stand. He's on your side in you standing up for him. He's on your side of you standing for righteousness. He's on your side, men, okay? So if this morning you want prayer, just come up. If you just want prayer to be the man that God wants you to be, you can just come on up. If you're already that man, hey. Oh, why'd I do that? Come on. I'm just saying this, that I know there's more in here. And I say that because I know that God bought this word, because there are men that God wants you to stand in your fatherhood. And like you're kind of passively standing by, and there's things that you're watching on your children that you just do not like, but you can't say anything, or you feel like you can't say anything, but you can say. Holy Spirit's letting me know you can say. Remember, it's how you say it, men. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. It's not how loud we say anything, really. It's how lovingly we say it. There's where it's grasped. There's where it's received, okay? Lord, I thank you for these brothers that came up, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for each father that is standing here, God. Father, you know their hearts, God. You know their hearts, God, that they so want to be the father that you called them to be. Father, you also know that there are places that there was no model. There was no example. But today, God, they accept and receive that the model is you, God. That God, as they open your word, God, that you will show them how to walk it out, how to talk it out, how to respond, God. That you will show them, God, how to be the father that equips their children for this life that they're living. Oh, Father, some of the children are grown, but nevertheless, fathering is still in order. And so, God, we ask right now that we know how to father in every season, God.
Yes.
That you would show us how to father the young, the babies, the toddlers. You would show us how to father the teenagers. You would show us how to father our adult children, God. You'd never stop fathering us, God. We never come to an age where you say, now you're old enough and I can stop fathering you. You just father us accordingly, God. And so, God, we just thank you right now for these awesome fathers that's on this altar. We thank you for, God, the work that you're going to do in their homes, in their relationships, yes, with, yes, their children. That their children, God, rise up and call them blessed, God, because you are equipping them and qualifying them for the call of fatherhood to a deeper level, God. A level where you, God, are Lord over that level, God. That they're not struggling within themselves trying to do it their way, but God, they're doing it as unto you. And God, we thank you for every father that's in this place, God. Every single father. And we lift up every father's heart, God. Father's hearts that may be breaking. Father's hearts that may be at the moment a little bit because of their father. God, they have a little hardness in their heart. God, we ask right now that you would soften that heart so that they can receive you, God, the Father of all fathers. In Jesus' name, we thank you right now. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now we're just going to have, if anybody hasn't given their life to the Father of all fathers, this is the time. If you want to walk up and you haven't given your life to the Lord, this is the time. I don't want to neglect and think that everybody in here is saved. But the Bible says, what must I do to be saved? And that's what Nicodemus asked. What must I do to be born again? And he says, you must be born of the water, born of the Spirit. If you haven't been baptized, we have a pool back there.
Amen.
And it's ready for us to just put you in, all right? If the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit, you just asked of him. He says, if you, you earthly father know how to give good gifts, much more the heavenly Father gives the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's the greatest gift of all.
Yes.
And that's when he comes and he baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and he's living in you and you know he's there and you hear him and he walks with you, talks with you, leads you, guides you. You must be born again of both.
Yes.
So if these things are something in your mind, well, I don't know about that. I haven't heard about that. And right now you're just sitting there contemplating, just come to anyone on the front rows, come to them and say, you know what? That lady up there, she was talking about being born again. And I want to be born again. And we're ready to pray with you because that's so important to be born again. All right? That's the invitation. It's so. Now, somebody this morning, you might have came and you just been far away from God and something happened. You were wounded and done with church, done with church people, done. But this morning, something told you to come back. That something was the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know the Father has been waiting for you. Because the best story about a father to read is about the prodigal son and his father. And it lets you know that no matter how far away you go, or even you go, your Father is doing like this. And he's sitting and he's waiting for you to come back. And his heart is so excited that you even made a step toward him. And if you would just for 1 minute just pause, you would find in your heart that he's running toward you. Because he's so happy that you are here today. If you are, we don't like that word backslider, but if you have backslidden, that means you were going forward, but something caused you to walk back. But God said, I'm married to a backslider. Whoa, I'm married to a backslider. So this morning, just come on up to your bridegroom. He's just been waiting for you. And he has never, never, never stopped loving you. And he wants you back in his arms. Those are the invitations. You can come up at any time. From the time you walk out the door there and see any of us, you can let us know. You know those invitations you gave? I want to be saved. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized. I want to come back home. Anytime you see us, we'll be ready to pray for you about that, okay? So we thank God for this glorious day, this wonderful day, and we thank God for the Father that we all have.
Yeah.
We're all sisters and brothers, y'all. We got the same good, good Father, and we're grateful. So we're going to turn it over to Elder Otis.